Good morning, everybody. My name is good. Thank you. Good morning again. My name is Laura Tuma. I was the one who was privileged to study this lesson and do the podcast, and oh my goodness, what a great lesson it is. So I have the privilege also of standing up here to give you a little extra tidbit, and I want to play off of something that we talked about briefly in the podcast, and that is that Mary Magdalene is one of a whole slew of Marys who we meet in the New Testament. And the Marys play a very big role in Holy Week, the crucifixion, and the empty tomb. So I want us to drill down a little bit into the Marys in the New Testament and kind of separate out, get to know them a little bit better. Now, there are seven Marys in the New Testament. They are mentioned in 57 verses. It's probably no surprise because Mary was one of the most common names of the time. And as you probably are aware, in Hebrew, Mary is also Miriam, and that comes from the word blessed or wanted child. So a very lovely meaning for that name. But on the other hand, the Egyptian version of Mary means bitter. So there's some complexity to the name Mary, which is a good thing to keep in mind. And the Marys that we're most familiar with, we're studying this year. We studied Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're studying Mary Magdalene. For the next lesson, which will be in 2 weeks, because next week, Holy Week, we don't meet. In 2 weeks, we will study Mary of Bethany, who is the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Now, you will notice that Mary, mother of Jesus, and Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, are known primarily because of their family connections. And that was very typical for women of the period, because it really, the domestic sphere was where they lived. Women didn't really have a public profile. Women went from their father's home to their husband's home. They were supposed to obey the men who were the head of the household. They didn't receive a formal education. They were really prized primarily because they ran the household and they had children. So being identified with your family would be a very common thing. Excuse me for getting out of breath. But today, we are talking primarily about Mary Magdalene. So a few things just to add about Mary Magdalene. She is really the one Mary in the New Testament, out of these seven, out of these 57 verses, who's not known by her family connection. Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala, so she was not known by her husband or by her children, but by where she came from, the village of Magdala. Now it's possible that she had inherited some wealth, and so that's why she had means that she could support Jesus and travel. It's also possible that she was an independent businesswoman, because Magdala was also known for its trade in salted fish, which was a very common commodity in the Roman Empire. And the Greek word for Magdala, for that place, meant salted fish. So potentially, she was just a businesswoman on her own. At any rate, we know that she had been healed of these seven demons, which might make us think that maybe she wasn't married and wasn't a family woman. Don't know about that. But we do know that she was a faithful woman, that she had means that she used to support Jesus's ministry, that she was a leader, because you notice when she is listed among other people, her name comes first, and that hierarchy stands that the first person is the most important. She was probably one of Jesus's closest friends and his confidant. When Jesus speaks to her at the tomb, says her name, there is this instant recognition, this instant connection between them, so you know that they knew each other well. And probably the fact that they did have this friendship, this connection, is one of the reasons that she was minimized or kind of shunted to the side in the early church. Now, there are a lot of other Marys I want to talk about. There are four other Marys. One of them, well, two of them actually were there through Holy Week at the cross and potentially at the tomb as well. The first one is Mary, mother of James and Joseph, who was also at the cross. She was also sometimes called the other Mary in Scripture. So whenever you see the other Mary, that is Mary, mother of James and Joseph. She was probably one of Mary Magdalene's best friends. So she was undoubtedly part of this group who traveled with Jesus, who supported him, who was there at the cross, And John, or I'm sorry, Matthew, places her in Jesus' tomb with Mary Magdalene. So she is Mary Magdalene's best friend. She is the person who supports Mary Magdalene and also the ministry. Mary, wife of Clopas, is also mentioned. She's mentioned by name only one time, and that's in John. He places her at the foot of the cross. So Clopas would be Mary's husband. Clopas is thought to be the brother of Joseph. So she would essentially be Jesus's aunt and part of his inner circle of family and a lifelong friend and close associate. So Mary, wife of Clopas, also makes this trip and also is in this group of Marys who were there at the cross. Now that's at least three Marys who are close followers and who make it to the foot of the cross. And we know where most of the male disciples were at that time, right? It was not the foot of the cross. So there is something very dear and courageous about the fact that these women were willing to make that journey. Somebody they had supported and loved, and they are there for that most awful moment. But there are two more Marys. So there is Mary, mother of John Mark. We don't meet her until we come to Acts. Now, we know John Mark better as Mark, the author of the Gospel of Mark. Mary, mother of Mark, shows up in Acts 12, and you may remember this incident where Peter has a miraculous escape from prison, and he goes immediately to Mary's house in Jerusalem. And we're told that this is a very fine house. It has a courtyard. He's greeted by a servant, and then he's taken into Mary's house where people have gathered to pray for him. So what we can discern from that is that Mary had some means herself. She had this large house. She had at least one servant. She was opening her home to people during this time of oppression and persecution by the ruling powers. She was opening her home to other early Christians. And that is where Peter fled for security. So a brave woman of means who welcomed in Peter and opened her home for worship at this very perilous time. And then there's one last Mary I want to talk about. And that is, her name is Mary of Rome. We meet her in Romans 16. Paul has this list of, at the beginning of Romans 16, there's this list of 28 people, men and women alike, who he greets or commends. And in verse 6, he says, "Greet Mary who worked very hard for you." Greet Mary who worked very hard for you. So we don't know exactly like what she did, but we do know that because she rose to the level of being mentioned in Paul's list of people who were exceptional in their service and in their courage and in their leadership, that she had all of those qualities too. So like Mary Magdalene, Mary of Rome is not identified by family connections, although everyone else in this list is, although Paul didn't use family connections in any of that list because it probably would have been a very, very long list. So thank you, Paul, for editing that down just a little bit. So in the Bible, the number seven is generally considered a number that represents completeness. There are seven Marys that are listed in the New Testament. I don't want to suggest that that's a complete story, but that there is some meaning to the fact that these are women whose lives were transformed, who behaved in a way that was against the norm of their time, who took risks and sacrificed themselves to support Jesus in the case of those who actually knew him personally, and who took risks in the early church to see that that word was spread. So as we go into Holy Week, I just want to raise up these seven Marys for consideration that we have so many role models. I mean, in this week's lesson, we have some very distinct role models, but in the group of Marys, we can really see how Jesus was transforming the way women were perceived and what the options were available to them. So with that, let me pray and send everyone to their small groups. Oh Lord God, how good it is to be here together today. I pray that you will speak your words of wisdom and encouragement and conviction into the hearts of every woman here, that as we study this lesson, as we share with one another, that we will see you more clearly, and that we will see the path that you have laid in front of us, and that as we enter this very precious time of Holy Week, that we will be reminded of the women who have gone before, and that we will also be in that group that follows you through through the cross and through resurrection. In the holy and precious name we pray. Amen.